can we fight against the attacks of the enemy? We cannot see him. We cannot always make sense of the schemes that he's laid to trap us. We do know the pain that ensues. Beloved, take heart. God has provided all that we need to fight and to overcome whatever the enemy of our souls brings against us. This is Light of the Word Radio, a ministry sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church, and we're glad you're joining us today. Today, Pastor Jim brings the second half of a powerful sermon from Zechariah. It's a message of hope and promise, so be sure to stay tuned. And now, here's Pastor Jim.
Now, I want you to know, the day you were saved, let me rephrase that. The moment you were saved, something took place in you that gave you power and strength. And that something is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, a power to overcome all these things. And that Holy Spirit dwells within us. So what we need to do when we're facing this, and we are facing this, and by the way, if you're saying today, well, not really, Jim, I don't have this going on in my life, then we really need to be praying for you because it's about to happen. You're going to have it in your life. Jesus promised it to us. When he said, pick up your cross and follow me, he did not say life is going to be a bowl of cherries or a box of chocolates or whatever the case might be. So we need a plan. We need a direction. We need a way to overcome it. And it starts with the Holy Spirit. The first thing is this gift of the Holy Spirit. He strengthens us. He gives us wisdom. He brings us to a place of strength to overcome temptation and sin. I think of my own sin. And when I fall into sin, I can't think of very many times when I have fallen into sin when the Holy Spirit did not warn me. Can you? He warns us. And by the way, if you've fallen into sin and he hasn't warned you, my greater concern for you is salvation. Because he warns us. We know that we're falling into sin. And we know that it's wrong. It's a wrong attitude. It's a wrong response. It's a wrong direction. And we got to put on the brakes. Because when we fall into sin, it takes us deeper into despair, doesn't it? The very thing we think is going to bring us up out of something, if it is not Jesus Christ, takes us deeper in. There's great power in who the Holy Spirit is. It was by the strength of the Holy Spirit that people were healed. The lame walked, the mute talked, the deaf heard, the blind saw, the dead raised. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power. Say that again. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You have received power, Christian, to be his witnesses. And that means that even though you are under attack, you stand faithfully. You stand steadfastly. Yes, you have the Holy Spirit, but if you feel weak because of the attacks, then you come alongside a brother or a sister and you tie yourself together with them that the Holy Spirit within you, within them, strengthens both of you and holds you up. Holds you up. Romans 8 and verse 26. The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Hear this, brothers and sisters. When we're in this place, how often do we really not know what to pray? Pour it out. And the Holy Spirit within you takes those prayers to the throne of God. He intercedes for us with groanings so deep there are no words for. We are not alone. I love the story in the Old Testament when they were coming against Elijah and his servant was so worked up and so worried. But he wasn't. The prophet was fine. But the servant was so worried. And finally, God opens the eyes. It's a long story. I'm making it very short. Opens the eyes of the servant. What does he see? The hills are covered with God's angels ready for battle for the prophet. Brothers and sisters, we are not alone. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lifts us up and lifts us out. The second part of the fight is putting on the armor of God. Ephesians 6, beginning in the 11th verse, put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. In the King James, it says the wiles of the devil. I like it that way. The schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. See, this is where our battle is. Take up the full armor so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. I started this out by saying we are ill-prepared, ill-equipped to face what we have to face in this world. We need to be putting on the armor of God, because if you belong to Christ, you already have the Holy Spirit, right? You have the Holy Spirit. Put on the armor. And the third thing is to pray. Christians without prayer. I'm amazed at how often Christians say to me, I want you to pray because you have a better line to God. Now, I expect lost people to say that, okay? I expect them to say that. And I think Christians should come to me and come to you with their prayer requests. But not because we have a better line to God, not because He hears us better, but because we're their brothers and sisters. They need to be in prayer as well, don't they? But because of sin in their life, because of the attacks, because of the weakness, they don't feel they can pray. And they don't feel they can pray effectively. But we need to be in prayer. Now, I don't believe for one second when someone tells me God's telling me this and God's telling me that, okay? If He didn't tell them through His Word, I don't believe it. Now, there are those in my camp that feel that way who would go a step further and say that God doesn't bring to mind anything or anybody. Well, I disagree with that. God will give us direction that matches His Word in prayer. If we pray and we feel led of God from our prayer to do anything that does not match His Word, I assure you that was not God who was leading it. But when we're facing these kind of attacks, we need to be on our knees, don't we? We need to be on our faces. We need to be in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. We need to be praying for ourselves and for each other constantly. It needs to be something that's on our mind and on our heart regularly. James 5:16. Hear this, please. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. How do we fight against the attacks? We pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray. We surrender to Him. Not that we're going to change God's mind on what's happening to us, but that He gives us everything we need to go through it and to learn what He would have us to learn. God does answer prayer, but He answers it according to His glory. And when we pray, what we're doing is coming alongside of God's direction. The fourth thing in our fight is His Word. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the very tool that He fought against those temptations with was the Word of God, wasn't it? Now hear this carefully. The same word used incorrectly is what He was tempted with. The devil used the Word of God twisted and manipulated to tempt the author who is the Word. And he knew the Word and knew how to reject the lie. Folks, if you do not study the Word of God, you do not know how to stand against the attacks. And if you don't know how to stand against the attacks because you do not know the Word of God, you will fall to the temptation. Hebrews 4, the 12th verse says this, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." In a day of nuclear bombs, smart weapons that can go across a continent to pick out one person, we have the greatest weapon ever devised, the Word of God. And it is not only defensive, but it's offensive too. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16. All Scripture is breathed out by God. Scripture comes from God, guys. It's His direction. It's His glory. The Scriptures aren't about you and I. They're breathed out for us to see Him. Every single martyr listed in that book, every single person who died for the glory of God, not only did they bring God glory in doing it, but they knew what waited for them. They knew what was about to come. They weren't sitting back worried about dying because they knew that whatever took place, whether they were being burnt at the stake, beheaded, whatever it was, that was just what was going to usher them into glory in the presence of God. Our pain and our agony, our sickness, our temptations, those attacks, they're a momentary affliction, as Paul calls them, and they do not compare to the weight of glory that awaits for us. All Scripture is breathed out by God, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. We are not trained as we should be as Christians. And if you think that your Sunday school teacher and your pastor are the ones who should be training you, you've missed something. You've missed something. When you were growing up and you went to school, there was a dreaded word at the end of each day. It was called homework. Folks, if you want to grow in Christ, you work on it at home and not just at church. If this is all of Christ you get, at least you're getting something, but you aren't getting enough to be nourished. It needs to be a part of your life for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness. The fifth thing we use is the power of praise. The power of praise. Praising God changes our outlook, doesn't it? Psalm 22, verse 3, He inhabits the praises of His people. He joins us when we're praising Him. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22, As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. In the praises of God, when we say, this attack will not stop me, praise God, praise Him. I think to a couple years ago when I had the ablation on my heart, wide awake with no pain medicine and no locals or anything, just whatever was happening. What got me through that? I laid there and I sang what parts of songs I could remember. And I just praised God. And the more it hurt, the louder I sang. Because I knew that praising God gets me through, and it changes my direction of thought from me to Him. The power of praise. We don't think of praise as being a power, but it is. And I tell you, when you're hurting, when you're sick, when you're afraid, when you're under attack, when someone you care about is having issues, and you start praising God, it'll change your attitude. Number six is obedience to Christ. Our willingness to be obedient even under pressure. This is a power for us. This is to our benefit to be obedient even when it seems like the whole world is caving in. Why do you think that people in China are continuing to meet in churches? That can get them killed. Why are they still doing that? Because they know that obedience to Christ is a weapon. It's a tool against all the attacks. What powerful examples, what great glory of God is seen when someone is willing to die for God. Well, folks, there is strength in obedience to God. Being willing to risk your life for the glory of God. But here's the problem with that, is it will never, ever, ever happen naturally. It is not natural for you to be so obedient that you would risk your life. In fact, folks here in America, we're so weak that we won't risk our reputation or our income for the name of Jesus Christ, let alone our life. The only way that this is going to happen is in a close walk with Him. Daily, daily, carefully planning out your time with Him, your time in study, your time in the Word, your time in prayer, your putting on of the armor. Daily, daily saying, whatever cross I face today, I will face for the glory of God. James 4, verse 7. Submit to God's authority. Submit. Resist the devil and he will flee. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. James 4, 7. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Do you realize that if you believe one little thing about God that is not true, that is a pathway away from Him? It could be the smallest of details that does not match the Word of God, and that is a pathway away from Him or a derailment. Because when you get a little off in your knowledge of God, you begin to derail. Take everything back to His Word. One thing that I've always taught is if I teach something you disagree with, don't agree with it because I taught it. Go back to God's Word and find it there. And if it isn't in God's Word and I'm teaching it, then you have a duty to come to me and say, hey, Pastor, you're teaching something that I can't find in God's Word. And then you and I go to God's Word and either I show you where it's at or I repent. That's how each one of us needs to be. We need to be willing to grow in God's Word in obedience. And that happens by knowing the Word. Now finally, my seventh key to fighting against these is maybe where I should have started. The blood of Christ and our testimony. The blood of Christ is what I cling to. The blood of Christ is what washes me clean. It's the blood of Christ that when I have sinned, I don't need to be guilty. I just need to repent. It is the blood of Christ that is my strength. It is the blood of Christ that gives me the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the blood of Christ that I cling to. We don't sing the song in here, The Old Rugged Cross. It's a song I have memorized, a song I used to love. But I don't cling to the cross. I cling to the Christ and His blood that was shed for me on that cross. But the cross didn't do anything. It is the Christ who did it all and took it all. It is the blood of Christ that washes me clean. I want to read a couple of scriptures and then we'll bring this message to a close. Revelation 12, verse 11. And they overcame Him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life, even when faced with death. Remember what Jesus said about the one who saves his own life? What happens? He loses it, right? When we're so focused on me, myself and I, when that's our focus, we lose our life because our life is in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Brothers and sisters, it does sound like foolishness to the world when we tell them that our Savior, who was arrested, who was beaten, who was flogged, who was hung on a cross and died, when we tell them that in His dying He took our sin, that sounds like foolishness to the world. The only way that that is more than foolishness to anybody is if they have the Holy Spirit, is if God has awakened their heart and given them eyes and ears to see. When we belong to Christ, the enemy never has the final word. He can bring the attacks. He can do everything in His power to crush us. But the final word comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. So after saying all of this, this is what I want to tell you. Press on. Be of courage and free. Do not fear defeat from the enemy, because as long as you are in Christ, He cannot defeat you. The worst thing any man can do against you, the worst thing any illness can do against you, any accident, any pain, is to take your life. And oh, what a joy that would really be in the end, wouldn't it? Because He has the final word. So in this life, we press on. The battle belongs to the Lord. And these things that we face, this pain that we're in, whether spiritually, emotional, physical, whatever it is momentary and will pass. And we will come into glory with a new body made whole. So let's stand against these trials. Let's stand against these temptations. And let's make much of God. I do want to read Luke chapter 22, beginning in the 31st verse. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. And you, when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Brothers and sisters, as you are being sifted, when you have turned again to the right direction, strengthen the brothers and sisters. Please stand with me and let's pray. Oh, Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you for letting us have this message today. Thank you, Lord, that you are our God and that we can come in here facing all the things that we face, Lord. And there are many pains, many concerns, many trials being faced in this congregation. But we can face them with the knowledge and confidence that you are the victor, that you have already overcome the world. Oh Lord, lead us to follow you. In the name of Christ Jesus, amen. Go ahead and be seated. I want this to be part of our radio program. Those of you here, you know my history, and when I say that we can still serve God through pain, it isn't just some vain thing that I'm saying. I've experienced it. And I want those who hear this on the radio, see this online, who do not know my history. I have had multiple hospitalizations for pneumonia. 9 times I've had, I can't even count the number of kidney stones I've had, but 9 times I've had to be hospitalized and surgically have a kidney stone taken care of. I've had both shoulders redone. I abused my body when I was young, and now I'm paying the price. I know what pain is. I know what pain is. We had pain within our family, emotional pain. We've had those things. We faced those things. And I'm not taking away from anybody's pain, anybody's warfare, because it is hard, isn't it? It is hard. But I want you to know that you're not alone. If you're listening to this today, you're not alone. And we can serve God through those things. There are people in this room who have serious things going on in their necks, their backs, their legs, and other parts of their bodies, their headaches, all sorts of things. And they're here to honor God. Folks, we can do that. And if you're listening to this on the radio or online, and you need somebody to come alongside you, call on us. If you're watching online, there's a clear way, a clear path to reach us through the online. If you're listening on the radio, at the end of the program, Brother Eugene will give you all the contact information to get a hold of us. Call us. We'll come alongside you. Anywhere in the world, we'll come alongside you because we know, and we know that we need each other.
The power of the Spirit, the full armor of God, prayer, the word, praise, obedience, and the blood of the Lamb. A perfectly powerful and eternally effective arsenal against anything the enemy can throw. They are God's weapons, and if God is for us, nothing can stand against us. Take heart, beloved of God. Our Savior has completely defeated the enemy of our souls. We have only to stand in His victory with the weapons He provides, and we will know what it is to triumph. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We would like to send you a gift of appreciation. At your request for a gift of any size, we'll send you the book On This Day, A Daily Guide to Spiritual Lessons from Christian History by Dr. Paul E. Barkey. This 640-page book is organized around each day in the calendar, using stories from history, with a biblical lesson for each. On This Day brings great stories from history to us and applies them to help lift our eyes upward to see the God who governs all of history. It's just one of Dr. Barkey's daily devotions that bring lessons to light from history, and it's yours free as a thank you for a gift of any size. Just mention that you would like the book when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks, and may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. Remember last week we talked about giving grace to people? When people disagree with us, when people have a different opinion, we don't have to fight over every opinion. For instance, we talked about those who agree with wearing masks and those who disagree with wearing masks. We don't have to fight with each other. Let them wear their mask. Let them go without their mask. It doesn't change who they are. Give them the grace to be who they are. Today I want to talk about forgiveness. And as we look at forgiveness, we start with Ephesians 4, verse 32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. I don't know about you, but I realize how much God has forgiven me in Christ. I realize where I would be without that forgiveness. I realize that I would be on a collision course with hell that I could not change except for the forgiveness of God. And if God has forgiven me so much, how can I not forgive somebody else? How can I hold against somebody else anything? Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Folks, it's a part of being a Christian is to give forgiveness. Again, this doesn't mean you don't make stand. But you make a stand in righteousness. Unfortunately, too often, we make a stand in unrighteousness. And we try to make a righteous stand in unrighteousness. And that is wrong. Forgive each other. Love each other. And that forgiveness will set you free. Because if you're holding something against someone, it isn't bothering them nearly as much as it's hurting you. Until next time, Solo Deo Gloria.